Welcome everybody to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Our San Diego Comic-Con 2018 recap extravaganza.
Woo! Extravaganza.
God, so much stuff.
Oh my god.
So much stuff, and the MCU was missing from Comic-Con this year.
Yeah.
So which allowed for some really awesome trailers out of a different studio, but we're not going to talk about that yet. We're going to start with Godzilla instead.
Oh my god. Okay.
Okay, I just say, I watched all of these trailers like literally 2 hours ago, and I'm going to say this. What the fuck is going on in Godzilla? What the fuck's the plotline? The world's being destroyed. Let's wake up a bunch of giant monsters that'll blow it up.
Okay.
Hang on. Wait a minute.
All I got to say is when that started with the Claire de Lune, orchestration, that got me. That's all you need to have this guy in that movie theater is giant monsters set to Claude Debussy. That's
so
all I need.
I have a question, because like I heard about this the song after the fact, because I was moved by the song as it was playing. I just wasn't familiar with it. Why should I be familiar with it?
I mean, it's just a really famous like solo piano piece. It appears, it's like Claude Debussy is like
a big
and like modernist European music. He's sort of like, I can get into a whole thing. That song specifically, it's just in a ton of movies.
Gotcha.
Like in television shows, and it's always that like, I mean, it's just so soothing and
right.
Such a good song.
Well, like because of that song and the like the glowy visuals, this had a very somber tone to
it.
Gosh. Like I was watching this and I was just more in awe than anything else. I was like,
well, and for me it was actually really cool too, because the original piece, I'm a huge fan, obviously, but it's just a solo piano,
right?
And so like it starts off that way, but then towards the middle of the commercial, it crescendos into like a full symphony, basically cover of it with all the giant monsters.
See, normally
and stuff.
I'm like stuck on the music and stuff like that, but this whole thing, I was like, what is the point of this movie? They're like, they'll save the planet. I'm like, this isn't fucking Captain Planet.
I have no idea. I have no
Here's
idea
the
what the plot is. I didn't see the last one.
So this is like we had opposite reactions, Kat, because I heard all of the plot stuff and went, are they literally tying this to sort of like Greek mythology that the original monsters are the actual titans of myth? And that is like to reset the world, we need to awaken the titans or everything will die? And I was so, I got so deep into this idea of these kaiju movies turning into this deep mythology that is to be like the savior of the world, not necessarily the savior of humanity. They said for life to survive, then we have to awaken all of the titans. But, you know, doing some research, like, King Ghidorah is usually the bad guy. So are they still going to play that angle? Is he going to be some sort of an antagonist to this? Because, I mean, he's over this trailer. We've got him in the ice, and then we've got the last sequence with the giant wingspan and the lightning crackle behind.
Okay, talking about, I just wanted to throw this out there in the trailer, and you know me, I'm a sucker for just really fucking minute details. When the, I don't know what it is because we don't see the shadow. Is it Mothra? When it's flying over
Rodan.
The house, the city, and you just see that
the
wave
wind?
Of,
oh my god,
like, torrential, just houses being blown down because of its, just, I love those kind of, like, small little details. Because if you had a thing the size of a goddamn mountain flying over a city, like, it's
it would
not,
just do damage unto itself, just the flight.
Just the wings flapping and creating that air pressure, that would destroy, like, everything.
I'm hoping we see like a 2-on-2 battle in this, that we see Mothra and Godzilla teaming up against Rodan and Ghidorah, and like that's,
so Rodan was that, I'm not,
Rodan is the one that looks like a pterodactyl,
Godzilla,
for the most part,
and like, it came out of like the volcano,
yeah,
and then Ghidorah is the three-headed one.
Ghidorah is a Orochimaru, you know, like
the
demon dragon.
And then, oh, I guess not thinking about it. I was kind of overwhelmed because also I'm not, like I said, not familiar with it. So there's really only the four kaiju
in the trailer. I don't know if there'll be any more.
Yeah.
I mean, it is King of the Monsters, so we'll we'll see how many that actually comes to. But this trailer was, for me, so good that I immediately was like, well, I guess I should watch this 2014 Godzilla movie then, you know?
And that's exactly what I was thinking, too.
I forgot about that movie.
And I loved it. Side note, I would like to talk about that at a later date, but I don't know if it was its time that has, you know, allowed me to know that the movie was going to be shot a certain way, but I thought it was fantastic, so...
The
2014 one that's supposed to be the tie to this, because there's two movies in the universe right now. It's Godzilla and then Kong Skull Island are both part of the same universe. Yeah, then there will be, the third part is Godzilla King of the Monsters, and the final act in the story is King Kong versus Godzilla.
Because I was about to ask if they're in the same universe and are they going to bring them in. So
I loved this trailer. And this actually, I mean, you know, spoiling things early, but this might have been my favorite of the movie trailers, even though we're going to talk about some really awesome stuff.
Honestly, I think I'm right there with you.
See, I was just like, what is going on? What the fuck is... What plot is there?
This is the first trailer. So I was trying to catch up the plot, but I was like, all this looks so cool.
And so, and the music. Epic.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Like, the scene when it shows, like, Washington, D.C., and, like, everything's on fire, and there's just, like, you know, the tracer rounds, like, flying through the air and stuff.
Mothra unfurling her wings.
Oh my god.
And it's just this glowing blue in the darkness. I was like, we're doing the thing with our arms, and I'm sure you're doing it as you watch the trailer. Mm-hmm. You know exactly what we're doing.
And especially like sync to the music too, because that's like right when it swells.
Yeah. All right. We'll move on to the next trailer. Alita.
I want to listen to just that song.
Right. I've watched the trailer more times than I'd like to admit because of the song. Alita Battle Angel. Crazy Eyes.
So I saw that.
I'm not even going with Crazy Eyes. It's just half the people in that movie freak me out because they're like CGI robots, but it's like CGI face on CGI robot. It's weird.
it's this weird thing. This is the film that is deliberately, and I talked about this the last time we saw a trailer for Alita Battle Angel, is this is purposefully stepping into the uncanny valley, like to create discord and discomfort in the audience. Mm-hmm. And as a great science experiment and a good like piece of storytelling, I love that idea. I honestly think that is going to just turn off the mainstream audience. They're just going to be completely uncomfortable.
I was watching this trailer, and my first reaction is, this is the hardest cyberpunk I've ever seen. Like, in a big-budget movie, that is. Like,
see, and I'm like, just, like, even sitting in this that weird, stupid realm right now, where I'm like, I'm still salty with you, James Cameron, and...
well, but he didn't direct it. It's a James Cameron production.
Oh,
yeah.
It is. Okay.
It's Robert Rodriguez directed.
That's right.
Yeah, he's pretty much only working on Avatar right now.
That's
going to come out.
Viral.
But I for some reason, like the images and then the teasers and all that stuff, it didn't really have me jazzed. But this, like, I was watching, and I'm once again small, minute details, but the way the, like, cyborgs move in the trailer, to me, that was, like, that was so cool. Because you usually see a cyborg and it's just played by... It's just a lazy way to have a robot in a movie without having to, make a robot suit. Or, make a robot, usually. But this was, like, they... Like, the movements are so,
they're
like...
They're snappy and it's...
Yeah,
and
it's exactly how you expect like a pneumatic arm to just swing like and hit and stop. Like,
and the effects look better than they did in the previous trailer, and they looked amazing in the previous trailer that we got. I was dumbfounded by Alita's movement.
Yeah,
just talking about that, she does a double kick, and then a double kick land, and then a flip kick after that, and it's like. it looked so real. It looked like they had a performer on wires, but then it had those enhancements that you were talking about of, like, that snap and that weird, like...
And then there's the part where she, like, roundhouse kicks the guy in the face, too. And her body just moves on, like...
Like, it's her leg is a pivot, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it doesn't have... Like, the rest of her body, you know, usually when you go to kick somebody in the face, as most of us do...
daily basis.
You have to kind of, like, move the rest of your body to sort of do that. The rest of her body is totally still. Just her leg goes up, she spins around, and then goes back down.
Well, it's that idea that as the robot, the momentum is coming from, like, the pneumatics, not the use of all of your body.
Yeah, well, because you don't have muscles, you just have, like, a little servo, motor, you know? At the joint, you know?
I loved this trailer as well. I will be there to see this. I want to support this movie. December's rough. December is rough. You're dealing with...
Oh, my God. Are you kidding
me? Dealing with Aquaman, Into the Spider-Verse, and Mary Poppins.
I forgot about... Wait, what?
Yeah.
Mary Poppins, too.
And that's, like, you know, we're talking about big name, big budget, big movies. That is all programming to a T. That is going to appeal to so many families around the holiday. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. Kat, any final thoughts on the Alita trailer?
The robots weirded me out.
That they did.
That's my concern. Like, how many people are just going to be turned off for how freaky that
is? I think
we're
going to
have another... I imagine this being a Blade Runner scenario.
Yeah.
Where all the critics, the only bad things that they're going to say about it is how little it made in the box office.
Yeah.
And then all the actual critics are going to be like...
And this is, in many ways, it looks like the anti-Blade Runner. Like, this is an action movie. You know? This is action. Science fiction.
I'm gonna make you think about the depressing things in your life and make you question your life want to cut a little.
I also don't think it's gonna spare on that, even though we didn't really get any of that from the trailer. The feeling I get is it's not gonna spare on, like, the hard philosophy that usually comes. Science fiction and philosophy are basically like butter and toast.
Yeah.
Man, I just want to walk into one of those stupid movies like La La La, CSF, oh, fuck.
I'm sorry. Yeah. That's just science fiction since its beginning.
And shout out to Mahershala Ali. Is the villain in that? Looks amazing.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot to mention that. Oh, speaking of Mahershala, I mean, it's not really... I just wanted to throw this out there. Creed 2. Drop that trailer too.
I missed that one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have to watch that post.
I didn't see the first one. I'm not a big sports movie, but
watch the first one. It's brilliant.
But after Black Panther,
Ryan Coogler, man.
I mean, I love Ryan Coogler. I know this is like super film nerdy, but I saw Fruitvale Station when it came out.
That's super nerdy, but that's important.
Yeah, and so I wanted to watch Creed. I'm just not a sports movie guy, so. But now I want to watch it because I feel like he's the director that I should just see all the cinematography of.
Tessa Thompson, directed by Ryan Coogler.
Yeah.
That should be enough to get you
It really is. Like, that's...
That's like me.
I cried on an airplane on a 6-inch screen watching this movie. And I'm not talking not yet, exactly. That kind of crying. Not like tears, like, everything's okay. It's fine. I'm okay. Please do not talk to me right now.
Not the normal don't look at me. Like tears welling up and like a couple of
fuck you, man.
Down your
because,
face.
Oh my god, Inside Out was not that kind of crying.
Okay.
Inside Out was like, don't fucking talk to me right now.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to move on to Glass, the superhero M. Night Shyamalan sequel of two films.
Okay, so...
I feel like he was like, you know what? I think we can make this film attached to this film because I want it to.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure
so
that's what he did in his basement.
I really love and hate this at the same time, specifically for the people involved in this. Obviously, you got me some Samuel Jackson, a Sandwich L. Jackson. You got me a Brucey Willis.
Yep.
Oh, man. On board with that. You got me an M. Night Shyamalan. Not so much. Not so much, though. You know what I'm saying?
But here's the thing about M. Night Shyamalan.
I know.
Yes. Yes.
Arguably, his two best films are Unbreakable and Split. And this is a sequel to Unbreakable and Split.
Well, Sixth Sense.
Like I said, I think the two best... Actually, I've never seen Split, but
I haven't. I got to watch part of it. I've never seen Unbreakable. I got to watch part of Split. It was pretty good.
Unbreakable's brilliant.
So I really want to watch this. Obviously, like I said, got me some sandwiches and some Brucies.
You can't not talk about James McAvoy, Beast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
And I'm like, X-Men reference.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. And there's... If you've never seen Unbreakable, they reference the comic culture is ingrained in the film.
Hmm. Yeah, but so I saw M. Night Shyamalan is going to be the creator on it, so I'm expecting this movie to be really good up until the end, which is going to make me want to kill myself.
So I'm like,
there's going to be an unnecessary twist ending that he should have just ended the movie Patrick's before gonna go revealing into the, it, into the and theater. It's going to absolutely just. Ruin the entire rest of the movie. If this is anything like his previous 6 or 7 movies.
Right.
But Patrick, instead of going in there hiding a bag of candy, he's going to have a bag of razor blades.
Just in case. Yeah. Just in case.
Yeah, exactly.
Just in case the movie
like,
ends.
He's like, oh no, I forgot the razor blades. Hurry, make a new set of the seats.
bad jokes, folks. Bad jokes here.
Yeah, I'm trying to drown myself in my soda.
It's like, man, that guy really likes Coke. sorry. We're terrible sometimes. I apologize.
Should put a not safe for people.
NSFP. I kind of my hope of this movie is the twist that there isn't a twist, like that this is like the story that he, because the films this is based on, there are major twists at the end of, but they're more like reveals about the story itself. And I've had Split spoiled to me because I'm so excited about Glass.
Don't ruin it.
That end point in the trailer, the joke of first name Mr., last name Glass, was such a comic booky thing to say. You know? Like, that's embracing that I am a supervillain. And there was so much of, like, in the trailer, you get that, like, it's going to be grounded. It's going to be very realistic, as the first two films were. But at the same time, there's the embracing the pop nature of comic books, Glass being in the purple suit, doing a supervillain team-up, and actually saying so, and, like, referencing that. It's,
yeah.
I'm really excited for this.
And his, I know, like, it's
very... He looks like a crazy like homeless guy, too.
In the end with, like, the split.
Yes.
And Like, now that you're mentioning it, that's, like, a super iconic style, like, look and kind of how they just have the silhouette or whatever.
Right, exactly. You know? Something that's easy to silhouette as an artist, is to be like, this is, exactly. you identify this character.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, well, I'm excited. I guess I have those
reputations. But that's the thing, though, is they were saying you had a really high IQ. To have a really high IQ in comic books, you have to look like a crazy homeless person. And he does.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, you kind of have to in real life. Haven't you ever seen pictures of Albert Einstein?
Split is next on my list of the things I need to watch. Right?
Even though he wears bow ties, he still looks like a crazy homeless guy that just found a bow tie.
It's like, this adds legitimacy. all right, we're going to move to the next trailer, if everybody's all right. We should talk about Shazam!
Shazam.
Shazam.
I am, between this one and Aquaman, I don't know why, I'm so much more excited for this one. Just to say a lot, because
okay.
I'm very excited for both
I
of them.
Thought I was on my own in that. There's something about the charm of the Shazam trailer that was like, I think I'm more excited for Shazam.
I don't even really care for Shazam very much. What normally as a character, he usually irritated the like ever-loving bejesus out of me. But, I don't know, watching this, I'm like, I think I'm more excited for this than I am for
Aquaman. What it looks like is something that I've never seen before in DC Comics, which is something lighthearted.
Yeah.
I feel like the pitch for this is like, yeah, when he's walking out with all the snacks in the store, I have a superhero.
Oh, that was the best line of a trailer ever. Stop, I'm a superhero.
Like a mouthful of
He's like, I don't even know what his friend said to him. He's like, I don't know how to be in this.
He's like, what are your superpowers? I don't know.
Superpowers? I don't know how to be in this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, Zach Levi, especially when he first, like, they introduce him as actually having the power, and he slaps the sign of don't scream on the window, and it's like, what is everybody's reaction to that? Ah! It's me, Billy!
Yeah, no, that was, It looks so good. I imagine, like, while I was watching this trailer, like, I forget the director's name right now, but...
David F. Sandberg.
Yeah, I imagine him going to, like, the DC Cinematic Board, be like, all right, guys, I'm gonna make a Shazam movie. Oh, that's great. So, like, when's his, like, how explicit is his parents' death gonna be? How gritty is it gonna be? All this stuff. He's like, oh, it's gonna be, like, I'm gonna have, like, jokes. He's gonna be, like, a kid.
Yeah.
It's gonna be, like, lighthearted. They're like, so... You're just gonna show one explicitly dying?
Let me get this straight, David.
And the other one's just gonna be off camera, right?
You're gonna do Shazam as if it was the comic book character Shazam? I'm not sure I get this hook.
At what point does Black Adam torture his love interest?
It's like, yeah, he's 13. He doesn't really have love interests.
He's gonna have a best friend though, who's gonna be handicapped. Oh, we like that, handicapped. How is he gonna be handicapped in the movie? Like, no, he's just like, he has a disorder, a thing.
Well, yeah, cause he's like,
just I think he's supposed to have polio, but.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing that he says, he's like, why are you acting so dark?
I like the joke that he's like, you know, he's like, I'm orphaned and handicapped. I have it all. Yeah. It's like, yeah, that's so great. Like,
oh man,
and this is such a visual thing for me. I have a problem with why the hell red can't be embraced in superhero movies.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
red is, it's metallic maroon for Iron Man. Spider-Man's red is muted.
Yeah.
The Robin suit in Batman Forever is almost like magenta. Yep. The Robin suit in the Titans trailer is maroon.
Yep.
And we finally get to Shazam and they're like, no, this shit is red. This is he is the big red cheese and we're gonna give you the big red cheese.
Wow. Okay.
And that's the nickname. I mean, that's like, you know, it's a little kid as a superhero. It's big with superpowers. Yeah. It's just amazing to me. I couldn't believe how funny several elements of the trailer were. Your phone's charged. Your phone's charged.
What the hell?
the best,
that's
my
exactly
favorite.
Exactly what a 13-year-old, like lawful good 13-year-old would do, like, wants to get superpowers.
My favorite moment in the trailer, though, is the turn of, oh my god, I got shot, to, you're dead. Like, that in the quick stop area or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You've got bullet immunity.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, bulletproof.
Oh, you got, yeah.
You're dead. And it's just like, in this bright moment of like, the realization and this happiness, and then it's just this, you're dead. Like, yeah. This quick turn of,
sorry about your store window, but I also, you know, stopped you from getting robbed.
You're welcome for not getting robbed.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't he trying to leave with booze?
No, he has like a bunch of like sugar. Essentially,
it's like chips.
Well, no,
what
did he have in his hand in the store when he got shot though? Because I thought he had he looked like he had little wine kugels or something.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, yeah, that would be kind of
funny.
Sure,
like,
that,
oh, that would be a really hilarious moment. Mm-hmm. Like, they go there to try to smuggle beer.
Yeah,
because now he's an adult, so he can go.
You know, and they ask him for his ID, right? Don't I look old enough?
Right. That has to be a joke. Now that we've said that, like, I feel like that needs to be.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Yeah.
Stop, I'm a superhero.
Yeah, stop, I'm a superhero.
Well, I didn't realize that we were all going to have this positive a reaction to Shazam, so now it feels a little like negative, not negative, but like sort of weird. We'll move on to Aquaman, I guess.
So, my first reaction to this was, I guess somebody over at DC watched Black Panther, and they wanted to make their own version of it.
Which is super, like, I described this movie as, it's Star Wars meets The Abyss meets Black Panther.
Well, okay, so when they were first going into the city, too, did you not get a Wakanda
feel? Oh, yeah, it was totally the Wakanda
feel
for me,
yeah. When they go into the, under the dome or whatever, and she's like, welcome home, and he's like, oh, and Black Panther's like, this part never gets old for me. And,
right.
Like, that same.
There's a funny, so I heard someone describe this trailer as sort of leading us to, it's Black Panther where Killmonger's the hero.
Oh yeah, I've heard that.
Oh yeah,
it's
no,
like
that's true.
The outsider that's like embraced the other culture comes in, and yeah.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's what I saw. That's what I was like, huh, that kind of makes sense. But I don't know, I watched it and I was like, cool, I'm going to go see Aquaman, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved the trailer, but it was, there's almost too much in the trailer for me to not...
I think the other part of it was, too, is I think I watched Shazam first, and then I went to Aquaman, and I was like, I shouldn't have done this.
I don't know. Yeah, I think I'm with you. Like, I feel like I kind of have the whole movie now, or, like, a lot of it. The only real question I have, or at least I feel like I understand, like...
Freaking Black Manta looks like a damn alien. They did it right.
Oh yeah. My god! Yeah, like that moment.
That's what I was gonna say though. Is that's the only thing I'm curious about? Is how does Black Manta fit into this storyline? Because obviously there's gonna be the fight of kings.
Well, right. Yeah, because Orin shows up. My guess is it's gonna be. I'm wondering if they're basing it closer to Throne of Atlantis.
Well, it seems like it's very much like Throne of Atlantis.
They explicitly said your brother is the king. You need to go and take over the throne, or he's gonna. You know, wage war on the surface world.
Which
there
is
we have our initial.
Of Atlantis.
There's going to be our like
that's
major
the MacGuffin.
Conflict.
Like, yeah, that's what the story's about.
Yeah, that's going to be the end of Act One major.
Yeah.
Like tension raising.
Well, and we know there's an Indiana Jones style quest that's the jumping scene at the end where the redhead lines which got me pretty.
Yeah,
much. I loved that.
Yeah,
redheads. Gotta love them.
Yeah.
so bro-y, because that's Aquaman in this universe, which I actually love that portrayal. Like,
I kind of like that too, because I don't know, it just
like
fits.
He's the bro that you actually want to high five though, you know?
Yeah.
Like he's like,
well, I mean, if you think about the guy that lives on the beach
I just
for
want
his
him,
whole life,
I
he's basically like a surfer bro.
I really
like,
want him to sit on
the
lasso of truth again, though.
That moment in Justice League is hilarious.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. That might be the only good part of that.
Nah, there's a lot of good parts in that movie. It's just they're
we'll
linked,
get into it.
They're not linked correctly.
All right.
The visual elements, there's almost too much in this trailer that is overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's like
that.
You're introduced to so many different races and so much action, and it's just like, my senses are being assaulted, and it's all beautiful, and it's candy colored, and it's embracing that as a comic book, and I feel like I'm gonna have so much fun with this, but I need to breathe right now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
They did, like, with, you know, we were talking about Shazam, like, you know, you were saying how he's straight from the comic book with his costume. That's the same with Black Manta.
Holy
and,
crap. And Orm. Like,
and
yeah,
Orm,
that's true.
And,
that's
right. and what's his. The redhead.
Oh, Mira. Oh, yeah. Right. Like, they went as far as to be like, yeah, her hair looks really, really red outside because underwater it's kind of subdued. You know, like, the blues, the blues kind of kill the red, but
she
has unnaturally red hair. Like, that's, you know...
Yeah.
She looks like, and, you know, a lot of people were like, whoa, it's the Little Mermaid, you know, as part of the story. And kind of. You kind of...
Yeah,
like,
it's true.
And sure, I love it. I loved this trailer. I don't want anybody to feel like we didn't enjoy this.
I think, like I said, I think I watched it in the wrong order. If I had watched Aquaman before Shazam, it probably would have been better. Because I went from, like, laughing my ass off.
No, it's not. I actually did that. I watched Aquaman and then Shazam.
Oh, really?
I went back after I watched Aquaman and watched Shazam again.
Well, and they're both tonally positive. But Shazam is all about fun. And this one was definitely like the comic book adventure, which is what I want. I want to see the adventure.
Like I said,
movie.
I'm really thinking it's probably going to be linked closer to Throne of Atlantis is what they're going to be.
Yeah, it's very heavily like New 52. Although, there was another trailer that was screened for those in attendance. And everything that I'm hearing is this trailer was good. What everybody saw was outstanding, like rock your socks off, amazing. And that's the one apparently that ends with the orange scale mail suit, golden trident version of Aquaman, like straight out of the comic books.
Wow.
So
wow. Yeah, maybe they'll probably release that one for
probably
trailer
just
two then.
Closer. The release is December 21st, so
we're
moving really fast.
This is the first
official
trailer. You know, they usually do
less than 6 months away.
Yeah, they usually have two official.
Well, they were telling us for the longest time. They're like, we're doing an Aquaman at the end of the year. We're gonna make it.
Well, James Wan specifically was like, I'm not releasing a trailer until these effects are near finished.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, it's such an effects-heavy film,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I love the look of everything. Like, there's a distinction between all of the races. It's just, it is almost too much for a trailer.
Like, yeah, everyone is, like, the one shot where they jump off the boat, I don't know what they're holding. It's like the red orb or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's all those other things like swimming after them. Whoa! Are you kidding me? That was such a cool shot.
You do realize we are going to get Aquaman riding a great white shark at some point in time in this movie. Like,
I thought, well, I mean, there's that battle scene towards the end, and there's like a giant crab and a giant, like, that prehistoric, like, crocodile thingy and like all this.
Oh my god, are you gonna take the megalodon on?
Maybe.
I actually saw a fan poster where somebody actually had Aquaman riding the Meg. It was beautiful.
That's awesome.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
At this point,
no, I'm in.
Yeah. At this point with Aquaman, like, he can do anything.
Comment too, like they talk underwater and they fight underwater, and it's so much like a comic book where they just do that's fine, underwater physics, there are where they are, who cares.
Yeah,
it's like, this is a story, let's tell a story. And
the physics work like they do in comic book world, which is the coolest way possible.
Exactly. And that is what this movie needs to be, you know. And I'm so happy that around Christmas time I'm gonna be able to sit in the theater and watch mermaids go at it with tridents.
Stop it with the underwater pitchfork.
The major forces in comics universes are, you know, strong nuclear forces, weak nuclear forces, gravity, electromagnetism, and coolness.
Wow, we are doing real bad for time.
So we'll
just do a quick, like, okay, so Young Justice had a trailer, Disenchantment, Dragon Prince, and Invader Zim Enter the Florpus. I guess all of us can just do a quick thing. I'm excited about Young Justice. Why wouldn't I be?
That was awesome. So many characters.
So many characters.
What's wrong with you if you're not excited?
I don't know what to make.
Especially after the Young Justice trailer coming after the Titans trailer. It's like, well, thank God. At least we've got something to watch.
Pretty much 2 minutes of the 2-minute and 45-second trailer is character after character.
Yeah, speaking of that area too, it sounds like, so they're doing the $74.99 a month, but it sounds like you're getting more than just the viewership part of it, of all the stuff that they're going to put up. Because it sounds like they're going to do comics.
DC Universe is an all-encompassing online presence where you'll get digital comic books. You have like character bios, all sorts of like, it's a one-stop shop for DC.
But it was $74.99 for the pre-order, and then you get 3 months on top of that for free. And
it's,
I was like,
it's a year plus three. Like,
I saw your Titans trailer and I'm upset about it still. So
but I still like, we need to watch it, right? Like, I keep fanficking this idea that what we saw in the trailer was some sort of misdirection. Anyway, moving on to...
It sparks so many memes right now. I'm so excited about it.
Disenchantment, it's so Matt Groening.
Groening's new, and I guess it's going to be Netflix?
Yes.
Yep. So it's Futurama in fantasy settings?
Yep.
Pretty much.
This is basically Matt Groening creating a new show, and... Yeah, whereas Futurama was a very hard sci-fi, this is very high fantasy, and so I'm hoping for just, you know, that little, like, black sort of, devil thing.
Devil cat thing?
Yeah,
yeah.
It looks like it's going to be, like, a Bender-type character, and you got the main character who's, like,
the fish out of water doesn't want
to
be where they are.
She's
the
like
best way to go about this is to swim upstream, and the little elf gets thrown.
Just,
yeah.
This is great. It's pretty great.
It looked funny.
Oh, but the obligatory animal joke. It's like, I'm really good at being a butcher. This is a pet story. That was a little rough for me. A little rough. Not gonna lie.
I thought this was hilarious.
Uh-huh. I mean, I'm gonna watch this, especially like the way that Futurama got into its stride in later seasons. You know, got to be there from the ground floor. Try to watch it.
That's true. The first, it really took a few seasons for Futurama to catch its stride. So if
season.
This is anything like it, it's gonna start out awesome and end amazing.
All right, Kat, anything else to say about Disenchantment?
All I know is, like, was it season 7 of Futurama? My favorite episode. Hopefully this one will be sooner than that.
Fair enough. Dragon Prince, out of the creators of Avatar The Last Airbender.
Woo!
Woohoo! The screenshots that I saw before actually seeing this trailer, I thought it was 2D. I thought this was a 2D animated TV show.
Yeah.
And it's actually a CGI 3D animation with cel shading techniques.
Yeah, but it's so heavily, like,
it's
like shaded and all that stuff. there's only certain times where you're like, okay, I can see how that's 3D.
I've got elves, magic, political intrigue, Toad Appa.
Toad Appa.
Toad Appa.
Toad Baby Appa.
Toad Baby Appa, and then, like, inappropriate kids jokes in the middle of all of this tension, and it's from the creators of Avatar. Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, like, that's... Obviously.
Duh.
I've been waiting since Avatar started to see what they're gonna do next.
Exactly.
So,
it's like,
I've been excited for this for like 10 years. I didn't even know that this was
right. I didn't know this was coming out, but I'm excited about it.
I don't know about it.
You're like, it's fine. Everybody needs to just know about it.
Yeah.
It's
my
good.
Only question about this is, when is season 2 coming out?
Right. Because season 1, this is like so great for me. We'll get onto a topic of my favorite cartoon will be released next month, and then after that, I get to watch Dragon Prince, and then the month after that we get to watch She-Ra in its entirety each of these months.
Nice, Nat.
Pretty, Netflix,
we'll miss you, Nat.
Yeah, exactly.
I love you, Netflix. I'm just blowing kisses. You love animation, and we love you for it.
Yeah, for 3 months we're like, hey Kat, have you seen Matt? He's pretty quiet, like, in the studio.
No, I think he's... Okay, let's try and peek and see if he's in the Netflix room still. And he just, like, opened the door. He just...
It's like, that light isn't coming from the screen, therefore it's invalid.
Yeah.
Invader Zim, Enter the Florpus.
Woo!
So, here's a trailer with absolutely no talking, all animation, all music, yet you're just floored by everything. Like, it's so insane.
I don't really know what happened in that trailer. It was like Godzilla, except... like an exercise video.
So I'm a huge Invader Zim fan. I've watched the one season that they have probably like half a dozen times, honestly, like straight through.
It's three seasons, right? Invader Zim was 3 seasons long.
No,
we're gonna have to look at that, because I'm pretty sure I have three separate DVDs.
There might be. I mean, it was a long first season.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah, kids' TV shows are always like, here's 52 episodes, that's season one.
Well, we'll have a discussion after the fact. Okay, but anyway, this looked amazing.
Okay, yes, but the trailer. So, what the hell happened at any point in that trailer?
What is wrong with Dib? Is there multiple Dibs? Are we like...
Yeah, because in one point he's all like bloated, and in another point you see his silhouette with like his hair thing that's like...
Yeah, and there's like
really
flies around
down.
It,
yeah.
And like he almost looks like...
That could just be the style.
Yeah.
With really weird...
It's like, the style is not showering and having long hair.
I mean, like, there's that other part where the guy, you know, his neighbor is standing there in the tank top and the other... It's the style. It looks like classic.
And then a workout montage.
Yeah.
And oh my god.
Squats.
Can I tell you, a waffle gun that also shoots syrup is a great idea.
And I love how it's like a mech, too. It's not just like a small waffle gun. Girl walks in with a mech and just spits out waffles and then syrup.
Oh, yes,
the syrup misses.
No, I think you have to talk about the fact that, like, the pizzas fell out, and then Gurr, like, did the thing where you lay on your side and then walk around.
Yeah. Right? He went full dog in that moment of, like, I'm gonna run around in my filth. You know, like, that's... Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously we're excited about this.
Individual scenes that are hilarious as they are off-putting...
And they're not, there was no dialogue for us to know what was happening. Like,
no,
it's
it
just
all,
the animation itself.
It was all the, like, the classic Invader Zim music.
Yeah.
That sort of, like, weird, like...
ominous techno.
Yeah,
stuff.
Like how, like industrial, ominous,
yeah.
Techno.
Yeah, so awesome. I'm excited. I want to go back and watch the other episodes of Invader Zim now.
Oh my god, everyone always should.
It was me. I was in the turkey all along.
The one I always remember is the one where he's eating everybody's intestines.
Yes, that's actually one of the reasons it got kicked off the air. That's like the second or third episode, and like there's some total tangent here. There's a court case in California where. Like a kid ate or like killed his parents and referenced that specific episode, and so this like Christian group like instantly got onto this show like hard.
Ugh.
Two episodes in. That's why
that's
one of the reasons. It's only one season, but you can go check that later.
Three seasons, we'll figure that out later. Voltron had their press conference and announced seasons 7 and 8, supposedly both out before the end of the year. 13 episodes for each season, and that is the end of Voltron Legendary Defender.
Whoa.
The series is going to end.
That's
going to
be it.
Which makes me really happy, because it's 78 episodes in total, and they're building towards an end story, which is wonderful.
Which is, like, unheard of with normal TV, so.
Yes, yeah, well, and that, you know, you put great people in charge of a great show, and they do things like diversity and inclusion without making it the centerpiece of people's characters. Like, oh yeah, by the way, Shiro has a male partner. And it was dropped as part of the press conference, and the community has gone berserk with excitement, because it's... once again, it's part of who he is. It isn't defining who he is. And Voltron does that a lot.
Oh, wait, hang on. Are you telling me that his gayness doesn't define him? Because I don't know if I can
accept that, Matt. You know, I don't think he has a passion for social justice. He just has a passion for justice.
Yeah.
If you've ever watched Voltron, he's the epitome of lawful good.
Is he primed for a street fighter or, you know?
I think he's
Is he being written by the writer of The Vampire Diaries?
He's a reluctant street fighter. No, he's being written by the director of the Wonder Woman animated film. That's
oh, thank God. Yeah. I'm glad somebody got justice.
Yay,
here.
Lauren Montgomery, we love you. yeah, I have not, or I've said at length, Voltron is the best animated show active right now. Might be my favorite show on. It's weird to call it TV now, because of the way that we consume.
Nobody would
know. It's
my favorite show, so yeah, and it just keeps getting better and better.
I thought a similar TV-like platform that's not cable, so you don't have to be harassed by your cable company.
If Voltron Season 8 is December, that means that for the literally till the end of the year, I will be able to just watch animation on Netflix.
that's like
a time. Also able to not have a life.
Yeah.
So we are, once again, tight on time. Do we want to talk about the Eisner Award winners really quick?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say I got a dog in that point, so.
Do
you
want to
just maybe list them off?
I don't want to even list them off. I just want to talk about the fact that Monstress fucking kicked ass at this.
Woo!
Yeah. One best continuing series, best teen series.
What the hell?
Wait, that's a big question.
I feel like
mark.
We talked about that teen series thing.
Yeah. I think that happened before with another title, or it may have been Monstress again last year.
Best teen last year was Squirrel Girl.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But Monstress, yeah, best continuing and best teen publication. How is this a teen? If you've not read Monstress, this is
dark.
It's very dark.
It's very M for mature on the actual label.
Well,
you know?
Didn't you say something about how Freeform used to be ABC Family and Cloak and Dagger is supposed to be
teen show?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go.
I always suggest people to read above their reading level for a challenge, but this is whoa.
Dropping F bombs, the whole shebang.
Dropping F bombs, literally watching the main character physically rip apart other people, people in half.
Yeah. And speaking of which, looking at that stuff, Sana Takata won best cover artist for Monstress and, the Dark Crystal title.
I was going to say, you can do it.
And she also won Best Painter Multimedia Artist. So, just a complete takeover. Oh, yeah. And Marjorie Liu was the co-winner for Best Writer.
Yeah. Wow. How did this happen?
There was a tie.
There was a tie for Best Writer between Tom King and Marjorie Liu.
Not that I'm going to complain at all about those two winning the award, but they can be ties at the Eisners?
I know,
that's
right? Like
they're like, we can't do it. We can't decide. It hurts.
100%.
Make it stop.
Both of them deserve it, respectively.
Mr. Miracle and Monstrous.
I'm glad that both of them got it.
Yeah.
But, I was just surprised to see a tie.
Mitch Gerads won Best Penciler Inker, once again, with Tom King for Mr. Miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that book. I love Mitch Gerads' art, but I'm pretty sure he should be in the same category with Sana Takata of multimedia artist. And we all know my love for Daniel Warren Johnson, so a little tear that he didn't get to win first time with the nomination.
Mm-hmm.
But not that I take anything away from Mitch Gerads. His art is fantastic in that series especially.
Yeah.
I also wanted to just do a quick shout out. Best new series, Black Bolt. Hey Keith, if you're listening, your vindication. You're right. Black Bolt was amazing, and everybody else agrees. So yeah. And then best publication was the Akira 35th Anniversary Edition box set, which I have, and it's beautiful, and it's like, I don't want other people touching it. Nice. Best Publication Design, excuse me.
Yeah, and of course I gotta give a quick shout out to the best limited series being Black Panther, World of Wakanda.
World of Wakanda?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Roxane Gay, Ta-Nehisi Coates, keep killing it out there, y'all. Hell yeah.
And, Canada forever.
Isn't Roxane Gay one of the writers that's up for potentially doing Batgirl as well?
The film? That sounds vaguely familiar, but anyway, I'm gonna have to. Super tangent!
That should be our tagline.
That should be our tangent.
I'm pretty sure that is our tagline.
That's basically our superpower.
Yeah.
I think we have,
what, 5 minutes?
Yeah, we have a little bit of time to.
Cool. Can I rant about the fact that Batman's trunks are returning? Like, yeah. why are we doing this, guys? You know,
I was actually, you'd send that, and I'm like, when did that happen?
Yeah, apparently he's distraught about the whole Catwoman thing, so he's going back to an outfit that the suit that he wasn't wearing when she was with him, when they were actually a couple.
I feel like they're just pulling stuff out of their ass now.
You know what? Greg Capullo seemed pretty upset about it, that his design was being removed. He was very cordial about it, but he simply tweeted, so apparently what's old is new, is the new again.
But Superman's made sense to like an extent.
I don't agree with either one of them. I think it's for me, it's an admission of not being able to.
I've always liked the new,
accept 50, new designs.
The new 52 one, so I was.
The Rebirth designs are my favorite, but in both instances, in fact.
I don't know why that's even close to being necessary at all.
It just feels weird. I mean, it's like, I don't understand why going back to the Hush.
Can artists not, like, do, like, why don't people just accept their new designs?
I don't know. For me, that's, as an artist and designer, it's a problem. And I apologize, I have to stand up right now, my legs kind of hurt, so I may be kind of awkward in the sound right now.
No, that's alright.
I didn't realize that they were doing that with him either, so I just,
yeah.
I seemed, like, at least with the Bendis one, it seemed, that was like a funny thing, like, hey, they went back to it, but this is because Lois took it
right.
with the Catwoman thing. He's going to a suit before he met her
because
he's burning all of his stuff. He threw all of the stuff in the trash can and lit a fire on it and said, I'm done with you, Catwoman.
Yeah.
I'm no longer here. I'm a strong, independent man. I don't need no woman. That's literally all I just...
he just stands in the rain
and cries.
And laments himself. Yeah. He's like, we get it, Batman. You're full of regrets and you're dark and brooding and all this stuff. Like, you don't have to wear a Speedo to show us
right?
how brooding you are.
See my mistakes.
Yeah.
They define me.
Yeah, exactly. This banana hammock is who I am.
Banana hammock.
Oh, God.
Where have we gone?
We've gone into horrible, horrible, terrible places.
It's like we went back to the sexy werewolf. Or the sexy wolf.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Shut the door!
Because
I didn't know that they were doing this with Batman, and I was like, I've never minded Superman's outfit at all, like, with his trunks and everything. And I was like, oh, that's, like, the Superman I grew up with. It's cool. It's not really something that's always bothered me, but I can understand that.
So aside from just a specific design phase, like the difference between Superman and Batman, it really doesn't matter what Superman wears, you know, because he's Superman. Batman, his powers are his costume. So
unless there's
like a specific reason for him having the trunks, there is no reason for him to add it to his costume, because that's all his superpowers. That would be like if Superman all of a sudden got the ability to like eat a sandwich. It's like, that's so unnecessary because that's already included. Like, I don't know why this is a thing. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sorry, you're over. Cat's face for our viewers at home is just, and Matt's too, is just dumbfounded. Like,
just the power to eat a sandwich.
Yeah.
Good for you, Superman.
Yeah.
You get that sandwich. You get that sandwich hardcore.
Yeah, and he also has the power to put mustard on it too.
Oh God.
I don't know.
That went to odd. odd places, and I don't think anybody really knew what to say about it.
Yeah, well, why don't we get away? We have just a minute here. I think we have one last topic that we kind of have to discuss. Try not to bring too much out of it, but
yeah, it's why did we not see the intro into the Spider-Verse stuff from the?
Oh, I was going to say. Troll successful on me.
But seriously, why didn't we see the trailer that they showed for Into the Spider-Verse? I want this movie now.
I don't know. They already showed a trailer like a couple weeks ago. don't get ahead of yourself. Greedy.
He's like, I want the movie now, so.
Yeah. So, why don't you lead us off, because I feel like you might know the most about this.
So, I'm sure all of you know this by now, that James Gunn was fired from Guardians of the Galaxy.
That was literally my feed for, like, 2 days.
Yeah, so from Guardians of the Galaxy 3, he had some tweets that were resurfaced from 2009, 2011. They were disgusting. They were about...
They were bad things.
They were jokes in quotations, but they had to deal with pedophilia and rape and subjects unbecoming. But he was fired because of these. There's a lot of controversy right now about when do we let things go, and a lot of people have come up in James Gunn's defense as being a changed man, and the fact that he's apologized for these before. And that he, you know, is ashamed by them, so...
Well, I guess what you were telling me before, too, that before he really got his, like, big break with Guardians, he was trying to be, like, a shock comedian, basically.
Yeah, like, and that's what these tweets were trying to be shock value funny. And,
yeah, which I'm not a big fan of that style of humor, but I know a lot of people are. Obviously, Tosh.0 is, unfortunately, still a big, you know, thing.
And there's a petition that was actually started by another director to get him reinstated. And last number I saw was over 500,000 signatures. I assume that includes Dave Bautista, Drax the Destroyer, because he's publicly commented in his defense, along with some other things. But we felt like we needed to at least say the news that this
happened.
Well,
the one thing I will say is, like, we can't. Like, you know, people can say terrible things, but we also can't just nitpick either. Like, James Gunn is a big figure, and I think it should go for... Everybody says stupid shit. I say stupid shit on a daily basis. It's like a hobby. I probably said, like, 14 stupid things within this podcast.
Yeah.
But
yeah, hopefully this podcast doesn't resurface when you direct the Guardians of the Galaxy.
But at the same time, it's like, you know... People say things that they don't always, don't mean, and I understand that, and I don't think that we need to. I don't think that someone should lose a career over saying things. There was never any action. I've read some of them, and I'm like, dude.
I think the most interesting part about this is how it's just his tweets that got him in trouble.
Yeah.
But... Literally everybody who's come into contact with him has been his biggest supporters throughout all this. So what does that tell you about his person versus these out of context, well, maybe not out of context, but these quotes that people are trying to bring him through the mud for? I don't know. It's like, what kind of a person is he versus what kind of a person
and
he was?
This can spark a really heated discussion and probably a good one.
Yeah.
But remember, when you're talking with, you know, people that you care about or people that you've just met, is to listen and to actually have a conversation, because there's a lot to talk about, and this definitely affects, you know, geek culture in a very specific way.
One thing I will say is it's not a black and white matter, and we have to stop treating it as such.
Yeah, we need to. That is true, and that's part of having the dialogue, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
let's actually talk about things and try to figure out what.
Yeah, there's not comic book villains in the world.
No.
This is a bad guy, and we're the good guys fighting the bad guys.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So that was, I think that's about as much as we really need to say about this.
I think that's a good place to end, too.
Yeah,
right.
You know, so I guess with that, you know, be be kind to each other.
Be kind to each other. Watch some trailers.
Yeah, there's watch some trailers. There's a lot of trailers. Yeah, don't be mean to each other. Just
watch,
go
some,
watch
Jam
some trailers
after that last bit, and you'll be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okie dokie. Well, yeah. Let's say bye then.
Bye.